Yes, reserve, reserve, reserve. Get your CDs, get your good stuff now, and we have good stuff on the radio for you. Now we have Lisa Alkali Klug talking to us on Dave's Gone By with me, the rabbi. Why? Because she's written a book about what it means to be Jewish in a cool way. Not the old-style Jews from the shtetl and all that, and not necessarily the super ultra-Orthodox Jews that are in a world of their own. No, these are cool, happy Hebrews living in America, working and trying to be part of this culture, but still heebishness of themselves. Wait, my co-host Jeffrey Goodman wants to say something.
Just like me.
Just like you. Well, yeah, how often do you go to temple, Jeffrey?
Once a week.
This is wonderful that you won't go to my temple. Whose money are you giving it to? I could use. We need a new roof. Actually, we need a new floor. We need walls. We don't have anything in our temple. But we have on the phone Ms. Klug. Is it Ms. Klug or Mrs. Klug or Mrs. Klug? What are you?
You can just call me Lisa.
Okay.
There we go. What a clever name, Lisa. A clever thing to call her by her name.
Lisa, a pleasure to meet you, Ms. Lisa. So kind of you. And what gave you the idea for writing a book called Cool Jews?
Well, I've been a freelance journalist for many years. I'm a contributor to the New York Times, The Forward, and many other publications. And I came up with a couple of ideas for articles, actually, that got me thinking that there was this trend of a Jewish cultural revival taking place, with all kinds of new, creative, innovative Jewish expression in films, in products like Hebrew beer and the sugar nuts, with the Jewish Pride T-shirt trend, with Hebe and Juicy T-shirts.
Juicy
so
spelled J-E-W-C-Y. That's a... Were you ever offended by any of those, or did you all find it all really wonderful and cool and like, Jews are making a mark in a very unusual way now?
Well, of course there's some stuff that, you know, is in poor taste or is offensive. Humor is so individual, but on the whole, I saw that...
On whose whole? What? No.
Rabbi, calm yourself.
Overall,
yes.
I felt...
I don't wear overalls. What? Sorry.
Rabbi, now be nice.
Jews don't wear overalls. We don't. It's not part of our gear. This is one of the things that she does in the book. She shows things that are, we think, ought to be Jewish or are Jewish in nature, like Philadelphia cream cheese spread, and then things that would not be associated with Jewishness, like, I was going to say olive loaf, but olive is very Yiddish, Kiddish. So what are some of those things like that?
Well, like ambrosia salad with marshmallows in it.
Oh, that's goyish.
That's not Jewish, right?
That is so goyish. What are some other goyish things?
How about Waldorf salad?
Goyish. Think of
gherkin pickles. Goyish.
Oh, they're disgusting, too.
But the sour pickles, that's Jewish. That is so Jewish. Sorry? What?
They're kosher dills.
Well, of course. Now, what are some other things, Lisa, that are either Jewish or not Jewish, just from their very nature, by what we sense of these things?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you could put all these things in the category of Hebe versus Dweeb. So
Hebe versus... I remember when that word was offensive, believe it or not, they're calling someone Hebe.
Well, I mean it in an offensive way. Just,
welcome to
Heineken.
Well,
maybe I do.
Well,
mustard versus mayo.
Wait, mayo, mayonnaise. Well, Hellmann's is a Jewish Germany-sounding name.
Well, we make exceptions for tuna, but, you know, you would never put mayo on your pastrami.
Oh, my gosh.
No. Good Lord, no. And not Kraft mayonnaise. Kraft, you are Middle Western redneck goyish. Hellmann's, we let you slide.
And you cannot have yellow mustard. The French was mustard out.
And well, Gulden's you can. Gulden's
yes.
You can do. Are you okay there? Are you breathing heavily in the check a microphone? Are you all right?
I'm excellent.
Okay.
Can I ask you just back to the overall thing? The rabbi said overalls were not Jewish, but remember when Oshkosh was very big and all the Jews were wearing them?
Well, you know, there's no need to split hairs here. Things, all kinds, you know, unusual things at their moment, in their peak moment.
So the Oshkosh Bagash was okay. So what?
You
tell
know,
me
if
what.
You look in Israel, there's all kinds of people working the land, right? There's all kinds of Jewish farmers. And there's a community of Hasidic Jewish farmers up there in Amherst, Massachusetts. So up there, overall, they're a very Yiddish thing.
Okay. Tell me about your book.
Yes. Yes.
Tell us the salient points in the book that we have to get.
The salient points, the salty points of your book, yes.
Well, actually, it goes back to that question you asked me a second ago about how I came up with the idea for the book. So when I was noticing all these trends, this Jewish pride t-shirt trend, all these new films, innovative music, what I saw was that there is now this willingness to be totally out there as a Jew, loud and proud. There is also this embrace of all things schmaltzy and kitschy. And there is what you could call a reverent irreverence, an irreverent that's really based on a love of being Jewish. And that is what being a cool Jew, or as I like to say, a hipster, is all about.
You know, we have, believe it or not, we have a caller, a person on the phone who is a modern Orthodox Jew. This is for real. I'm sort of archaic Orthodox in a bizarre sort of Mormonistic way. But we have on the phone a friend of the program, a friend of Jeff Goodman and of Dave, who usually hosts this program. His name is Charles Gross. And Charlie, are you there? Are you on the phone with Lisa and us here in the Davahood?
I am here, Rabbi. I am here.
So we have a woman who wrote a book called Cool Jew. Do you consider yourself a cool Jew?
Well, of course. Is there any other kind?
Oh, this is a sweet... Now, you go to the synagogue, what, once a week?
Generally, yes.
No, twice. Don't you go Friday and Saturday?
I generally do not go Friday.
Bastard, we're excommunicating you!
Don't I wish.
Now, do you wear... To elaborate for the listeners, do you wear a streimel? Do you wear the black coat? But you're not that kind of thing. Or what?
Well, I do wear the prayer shawls, commonly called tzitzis. I wear a kippah when I'm not at work. No, I don't wear the Hasidic. You have to understand, Rabbi, the Hasidic garb that we see today was in style, you know, a couple hundred years ago. I mean, that's what they wore in the communities. They just never bothered to upgrade the style. Well, but there's no halacha, there's no Jewish law that says that you have to dress like that. They do to separate from the community.
But
yes,
not really, especially. Well, what do you say to that, Lisa, about the garb and traditional and non-traditional Hebraic garb?
Well, actually what I do in the book is I demystify all kinds of other groups within Judaism, like Hasidim. I think it's important that we all have friendships among us and that we have unity. When we have unity as a Jewish people, we are quite strong, stronger than our numbers.
Now, speaking of numbers, I'm going to ask both of you, Charlie and Lisa, and maybe Jeff Goodman, too. How many of the 613 commandments do you actually follow? Just a round number. You can be off by 10. I'm just curious.
Number? Well, 47.3, I have no idea. Listen, I never counted them up. And many of them, no one could keep today because the temple's not standing in Jerusalem. In order to keep all 613, you would have to be a male, and you would have to be a Kohen, and there are only things that a Kohen, a high priest, could do. Even among all the priests, only the highest priest could do certain things. So it's impossible for anyone today to do all 613.
What about you, Charlie? Are you a Kohen?
I am not.
So what the hell are you calling for? We only have Kohens on this program. Don't you know that?
I had no idea you were a Kohen.
Oh, the ladies can't even get through the switchboard. We find out if they're lady and we hang up on them. And the Israelis, they run out and get our coffee. It's unfortunate, it's unfair, but that's the way it is in the Bible. That's the way we do it here.
I had no idea they made telephone calls at the time of the Bible.
You know, tin cans and string.
I see. Well, you know, interestingly, what Lisa points out is true, but in actuality, there are certain mitzvahs that are only for women. So, actually, no, even the Kohen Gadol during the time of the Beit HaMikdash, during the time of the Temple, could not perform all the mitzvahs.
Well, the law of regular douching, I tried, but it was painful and did not...
Did you use Nassengill?
I felt fresh, not particularly feminine. I just felt rather stupid and messy. So, I didn't do it again, but I tried. I did try to follow that one.
Well, so much for my comment that most Jews are cool.
Can we talk to Lisa?
Lisa, why are you breathing like a panther into the phone? There we go, much better. Now, let me ask you also, kind of a political question. Do you think, both of you, what do you think, Obama, will he be good for the Jews, not so good for the Jews, in the middle? Barack Obama, go.
Okay, well, I guess...
Oh, you first. I defer to you.
I think it remains to be seen.
All right.
How Obama can be. But I'll tell you an interesting thing that had occurred to me. You know the saying, only Nixon could have gone to China?
All right. No, I've never heard. You made that up, didn't you?
No, actually I didn't. Okay. It's from a Star Trek.
It's from the Talmud. Oh.
But I'm wondering Star Trek, if only Obama could bomb Iran. I mean, if he says we are out of options for preventing Iran from becoming a nuclear power, and he goes in and bombs them, everyone say, well, if Obama couldn't talk them out of it, then he had to be right to do this. So I'm wondering if that will happen.
Excuse me, but did anyone watch the news today and see that the other shoe dropped in Iran today?
What happened?
What in the shoe? Did they take the Lohman shoes with them?
Yes.
Iran? What?
The Lohman's. Bush had his last news conference in Iran, and some irate news reporter threw his shoes at him.
George Bush was in Iran.
Wait, Iran or Iraq?
Iraq.
Oh, he's in Iraq. That's a little different.
Sorry.
Well, okay, go back.
I ran away with the story.
Go back, Sleepy Jeff. Go to the Wiggles. No, I'm kidding. So, Lisa, your thoughts on Obama?
Oh, I agree. I think the verdict's still out. But I'm hopeful.
Now, I'll bet Lisa voted for Obama.
You've got to be hopeful no matter what.
Lisa, tell us more about your book.
My book? Well,
tell Charlie about the book.
Excuse me?
Tell Charlie about the book.
Charlie's the other person.
What is the title again, Lisa?
Cool Jew.
I'm having trouble hearing you.
Oi, Gewalt. Wonderful telephone system here at the... We have the ancient Egyptian telephone system here at this radio
it's
station.
It's three cups and a string.
Charlie, I'm going to drop you just so we can hear Lisa.
Okay.
Thank you so much for calling in. I hope you had a good Shabbos, a good weekend.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for calling. And we'll talk to you soon.
Good to talk to you, Rabbi.
And you too. Shalom. Now, Lisa, maybe this will be a little bit better here. Lisa, tell us more, even more about your book, Cool Jews, and also where people can get it.
Okay. Well, first of all, the book is available across North America at Barnes & Nobles and Borders, of course, on Amazon and virginmegastores.com.
Is it available in the South? Are they allowing it to the South?
They have allowed it into the South.
They'll be burning it next year.
So the book is widely available, and I'm very happy to say that the book is an Amazon bestseller, and it's also a bestseller on Virgin Megastore.
And it's a perfect Hanukkah gift.
It is absolutely the perfect Hanukkah gift, and it's very affordable.
And we should also mention it's a nice-looking book. It's a fun, it's not just all text. It's really designed with colors and pictures
How
and drawings.
How much is it?
How much is $12.99 it?
$12.99 retail.
Such a Jewish question.
What a deal.
What a good
for you, if you buy three copies, it's $10.39 and no shipping on Amazon.
Oh, so you give it to all your relatives.
Yeah. So the book is really, it's a 250-page celebration of all things Jewish. You could consider it an antidote for Jewish self-hatred. And on page 219, there's actually a ritual to celebrate that. You literally cut on the dotted line vertically. You remove a page from the book and you give it a bris.
Oh, that's so nice. And you can, if you put your name in it, that's a naming ceremony. So you have the thing for girls, too. And I don't
Absolutely.
Know, I don't want to bury it. But I'm saying
it's not gender specific, that page.
But you have to bury the extra page?
I like that. No, but this is for me, the book is perfect bathroom reading. Because, first of all, I spend a tremendous amount of time in the bathroom thanks to my colon and my prostate. So I can get through the book 20 times back and forth just in one sitting. And
Rabbi, I have to tell you, this book is not appropriate for the bathroom because it has a whole section on prayer, including the central prayer in Judaism, the Shema. And it actually says on that page, this would be the right time to get this book out of the bathroom because that's the one place Jews do not pray.
Well, let me tell you, when I am in the bathroom, I am praying to Hashem, Jesus, and Jehovah. Well, no, not really, just Hashem. But you know what I'm saying. But everybody should go and get this book for the holidays. Cool. Jews, do you have any suggestions for ways Jews could be even cooler?
Well, if you would like to tie into an ancient tradition for Hanukkah, you could light, not with candles, but with oil when you light for Hanukkah.
Ooh.
The original Hanukkah holiday, of course, commemorates the miracle of the oil in the ancient temple in Jerusalem when it was rededicated after the Maccabees defeated the Syrian Greeks. And the original Hanukkah menorah that was lit with a pure olive oil. And when you light with oil today...
Was Popeye mad? No, I'm sorry.
It creates a very special light. And there are all kinds of fun things you can do with the way you set up your Hanukkah.
If you're using baby oil, perhaps, I don't know about olive oil.
Olive oil.
No, really, olive oil. And what you can do is you can put a little bit of oil in fireproof glasses, and you can also insert a little bit of water first before you put the oil, and you can add food coloring to the water to create different colors.
Doesn't that go like oil and water? Wouldn't that be like a problem and have firemen at your house in 20 minutes?
No, it's actually a very safe thing to do, because once the oil burns down, then the wick extinguishes in the water that remains. The water and the oil don't mix.
Right.
And you can get floating wicks at any Judaica store. You get floating wicks to put inside the oil, and it creates a beautiful, really beautiful stuff.
But old glasses are not fireproof. We must mention
that. So you have to get special glasses that could withstand the flames.
And also, I should mention, I have floating wicks once, and it took the eye doctor 3 different visits to get them out of my corneas. So you've got to be careful about that sort of thing.
That's true. That's
very cool, Lisa. I like that.
What's another thing?
Thanks. Another great thing to do on Hanukkah, actually, is to eat dairy in commemoration of the heroine, Judith. So part of the Hanukkah victory was when this Judith, a member of the tribe...
Not the same Judith that the Goyim would know about. This is Judah Maccabee, right?
No, this is a woman.
Another Judith.
Judith! Yeah, Judith of Holofernes or something like that, or
yes,
Tabitha or something like that. Yeah.
She actually decapitated a Greek-Syrian king, Holofernes, and she brought his head back to the Israelite camp. But how did she accomplish this? Well, she went to his tent and she served him salty cheese. And quenched his thirst, she gave him only wine to drink, and he became so intoxicated that he fell asleep. And while he was out, well, she did off with his head.
Ooh, wow. That's a bad circumcision.
In commemoration of Judas Thievery, we eat dairy foods also on Hanukkah.
Huh.
I only wish we could get a little head on Hanukkah, but you know, that's just a little joke there for the men.
A little salty cheese.
Salty cheese. Well, unfortunately, as I must be talking about all these dairy products, make me want to cut the cheese, which I have to do during a commercial break. But I want to put in another plug for Lisa Alcully Klug. Get it? Plug and Klug? All right, it's mispronounced,
Klug.
But still. Klug. Is it
yes,
Klug or
Alcully Klug.
Klug. All right, I want to put in a plug for Ms. Klug. Thank you for ruining the rhyme there. Cool Jew, the ultimate guide for every member of the tribe. You can see it at cooljewbook.com. And before we let you go, Lisa, what are your plans for Hanukkah?
Oh, for Hanukkah? Well, I'll be spending it with my family and friends. I'll be lighting with that oil we talked about.
Oh.
And reading Cool Jewel aloud, I hope, at all the Hanukkah
stuff. Eating some dairy food, yeah, and I'll be giving away lots of copies of Cool Jew. Actually, we're doing 8 days of giveaways at cooljewbook.com.
Ooh.
Make sure you register on the homepage to win a free autographed copy. We'll send it to you wherever you are if you're the winner.
Is there anything more cool and Jewish than trying to get free stuff? I don't think so. Lisa Alcully Klug, I want to thank you so much for being with us in this Jewified version of The Neighborhood.
Yeah, Lisa, it sounds a great book, really.
Thank you so much. It was fun being on the show. Zai Gazun, have a happy Hanukkah.
And shalom.
And a great week.
Shalom, damn it, to you.